Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 120, and it's Monday, December 3rd, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Yes, welcome everyone to the show, where we talk about gay stories, geek topics, and bizarre news. All right, Ray, so before we go on, we do our weekend updates. Ray, we've been busy last weekend. What have you been doing?
Let's see, I've been doing Christmas baking, finished Christmas shopping. I thought I was done, and then I remembered I had one person I'd forgot about, so I'd go get them something.
Me?
No, not you.
Oh, not me, okay. Oh.
Yeah, no. And then I invited you and Tamo, and we went to Magical Winter Lights in Lamarck, Texas.
Yes, we went to Lamarck. We had about 45 minutes downtown. No, not downtown. All the way south. Not as far as... I think we passed Kima or Clearwater. Or where were we?
Clear Lake, Kima. Yeah.
Clear Lake. We're in Clear Lake
pretty much. Yeah, because we're past NASA Road 1.
Yeah, we're past NASA Road. It was really far. I fell asleep even.
You always fall asleep in the car regardless.
Yeah, I know. Even though it's a 5-minute drive. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. We can talk about it in a minute. But we can talk about it. Yeah, so we took pictures. It's a lot of lights. We arrived really early, which is great because it was 10 minutes before sunset. We arrived about 10 minutes before sunset. And then when the lights progressed, it became the darkness progressed. And then we had a lot of lights. And it was beautiful. All the lights were beautiful. I enjoyed it. They even have a dinosaur area, which I did not get the connection. Why are there lights and there are dinosaurs? I think.
Well, the kids like dinosaurs. It's something to give something for kids today. So,
in fact, if we went to the zoo, if you guys plan to go to the zoo, it's the same thing. They have the same lights in the zoo here in Houston, but they also have dinosaurs for some reason. So yeah.
Yeah, but are their dinosaurs real, like the ones we were fighting off?
Yeah, they were realistic actually, and the ones in the zoo is kind of crappy, but it's a lot of fun. Anyway, the one in the lights
they have different
themes. Alice in Wonderland. They had space, the space shuttle there. They have a Little Mermaid. Yeah. They have different countries. It's pretty awesome. I enjoyed it. Yeah. The lights are really nice. So I tried to convince some coworkers to go. Well, last weekend I got a little bit butch, Ray. I learned how to use a Dremel while installing a porch light.
Well, interesting.
Do you have a Dremel, huh, Ray? Do you?
No, I don't have a Dremel.
Ha! I'm butcher than you. No, you have other power tools. No, yeah. This is the only power tool I ever bought because apparently I needed it because if the housing is and the screws on the housing are already rounded up, I mean they're round already, not round, but you cannot use a screwdriver on them anymore because
you've destroyed
stripped,
the heads. You've,
stripped. Stripped it's them stripped. Out. Yeah. It's stripped out already. No, not even. It's the first time I even attempted to try to strip it out and it just won't turn anymore. So the only thing to do is really Dremel it out. And yeah, just lots of sparks and everything. So I got that out and then it got replaced. It's pretty nice. We got a nice hanging one. I'll try to put something like a...
Well, there's nothing like a well-hung light.
That's right. Like something like a motion detector on it. And then that afternoon, I went to a softball or a wave ornament party. My old softball team, the Wave. So we did how gay is that? Ornament exchange.
Well, I mean, it's like it's a way to give gifts. So.
Yeah, I know. It's just that usually you bring a gift at a white elephant party, white elephant gift giving. But this was the same thing, but it's ornaments. We're exchanging ornaments. Which is pretty cool. And then yesterday, I got to before we got together to go to the to Lamarck, I got to buy a tree this time. It's a lot taller than last year. Last year, it was about 6 feet. But this time, I got something like 8 feet.
So, yeah. So who's going to decorate the other 4 feet?
I don't know. That's going to be a problem. I'll have to ask you to come over and help me. Yeah, it's 8. I can use a ladder. But it's pretty big, and I'm liking it. It's cheap, too, at Costco. So it's really nice. It's nice to have a neighborhood Costco. All right, let's go to our stories, Ray. Okay, we have stories about online stuff. This is kind of a geek, but at the same time gay, but it's really gay.
Very gay.
It's very gay. Okay, let's go, Ray.
Okay, my pilot messaged me on Grindr at 30,000 feet in the air. Grindr messages can pop up at the most unexpected times. It can feel surreal or even a little creepy when it's from a stranger just a few feet from you. One user of the hookup app was particularly shocked and amused to receive a message from what he believes was the pilot of the commercial plane he was traveling upon. His tweet about the incident has now gone viral. "Remember when my pilot messaged me on Grindr at 30,000 feet in the air?" said JP. "It was accompanied by a screenshot of the Grindr message. It simply said, 'I see you're on my flight. Enjoy the ride to Chicago.'" Screenshot of the Grindr message from the airplane pilot. The tweet has over 30,000 retweets and over 200,000 likes. Unsurprisingly, many had questions such as, "Was he cute?" And if you look at the article on our Facebook page, we have posted a picture of the alleged airplane pilot, and he is very cute.
Oh.
I'll never know. I literally ran off the first that flight, responded JP. Others found it amusing. "You don't call it the cockpit for nothing," said Shade Central. A tweet about the Grindr airplane pilot message photo on Twitter. I got lost in the article. Sorry about that. Others questioned whether it's safe for a pilot to be using Grindr during a flight. Some countered that most planes are flown largely on autopilot these days with pilots as backup, or that pilots are allowed bathroom breaks. Others questioned how JP, who lives in St. Paul, Minnesota, knew it was the pilot, or how he got the message at 30,000 feet when most people don't have cell signal. "Airports are always an interesting cesspool of gays," Gay Star News reached out to JP for comment. He says the incident happened a couple months ago, which is when he first posted about it on his Instagram. "The incident happened when I was flying home to Kentucky to visit my parents and had a layover in Chicago." He clarified that he got the message upon landing and getting signal again. "One of the first things I did naturally after landing was check my Grindr, because airports are always an interesting cesspool of gays. The first message I had was from that guy." He admits he can't say for certain it was from the pilot, but the cabin crew appeared too busy to be on their cell phones. "I don't know for sure if it was the pilot, but I deduce that it was probably due to the fact that the cabin crew were constantly doing something on the flight, since it's less than an hour from Minneapolis to Chicago, and they still elected to do a drink and snack service. The message also came through a time which we would have been in the air." So,
you know what I think? Do you really think it's the pilot?
Oh, no, it might be.
It might be. I'm thinking it might be a passenger, although they shot a picture and everything, because pilots can be in the airplane too as a passenger.
They the could academy. Be. They could be. So, he could be in a layover.
Yeah. So it's possible that people were skeptical, right? I understand that they're skeptical that the picture came from 30,000 feet in the air, but still you can message someone before flying out, and when you go in airplane mode.
Well, my
and
question when is, you land, they have when, they have Wi-Fi on planes now. Why couldn't he message them while they're on the flight?
Oh, Wi-Fi on planes on an 1 hour flight. That's kind of wasteful. That's about it's $5, sure, but.
But just because the people have to pay for it doesn't necessarily mean the crew has to pay for it.
That's why. Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, they could be. It could be for free.
It could have been. You know, I think the guy, it's been overly dramatic. And if the picture that we shared on the Facebook page of him is any representation, I was like, I'd have been like, where are you flying to next?
When is your next destination? Tell me your itinerary for the day.
Yeah, what's your next itinerary? Can I be your layover?
Aw, purumpumch. Nice one, Ray. All right, let's go to the next story. Okay, so this has been going around, and I think there is a response already. This has been going on for a week, and we could probably talk about it more later. So, after we read the article. So, the president of Grindr just said he's against gay marriage, which I don't think that's what he said. Anyway, so update. Scott Chen, the president of Grindr, has responded to the Into INTO, I don't know, into report via a Facebook comment calling the message unbalanced and misleading, which I thought in the beginning it was. In the message, in addition to retranslating his comments correctly, when Chen goes on to explain their meaning. The reason I said marriage is a holy matrimony between a man and a woman is based on my personal experience. Chen wrote in a message screen capped and posted onto Twitter by journalist Ken Schwenke. I am a straight man married to a woman, a woman I love, and have two beautiful daughters. And I love that I love from the marriage. This is how I feel about my marriage. Different people have their different feelings about their marriage. You can't deny my feelings about my marriage. In another post, when asked directly whether he believed in a marriage equality, he wrote, "Yes, of course, I fought for this. That's why I am working for Grindr." That's the point. Yeah, okay. So, on Thursday, Grindr's news art vertical into INTO. I think it's an acronym. INTO reported that the dating app's president and former CTO Scott Chen claimed marriage is a holy matrimony between a man and a woman in a deleted Facebook post, according to sources within Grindr. So this is the original article now. The one earlier was an update.
Yeah.
You should put the update below. Anyway, so into INTO reports that Chen, who became the app's CTO after it was purchased outright by Kunlun in 2017, shared a story about HTC president and CEO Chair Wang, who supported US-based anti-LGBTQ plus groups, hoping to influence Taiwan's decision on same-sex marriage through various nonprofits. In response to the comments on the article, Chen responded with his own views about the sanctity of marriage. I think this is the part where it becomes translated badly. There are people who believe that marriage is a holy matrimony between a man and a woman. I agree, but that's none of our business. There are also people who believe that the purpose of marriage is to create children that carry their DNA. That's also none of our business. There are people that are simply different from you who desperately want to get married. They have their own reasons. Chen later argued the marriage is a personal issue, adding that money used to fund anti-queer causes would be better served combating hunger, poverty, and war. Why spend all that money to stop people who love each other from getting married? Aren't there more important stuff in life? I'll never buy HTC products ever again, and I'll never donate a cent to any Christian groups in Taiwan, Chen concluded. Today, we at INTO have learned that the current president of Grindr believes that same-sex marriage is a holy matrimony between men and women. Tweeted INTO's editor-in-chief Zach Stafford. We are reporting this as the media property owned by Grindr, and we'll be updating this as the story develops. This isn't the first time that Grindr has been in hot water with the LGBTQ plus community it serves. Earlier this year, reports surfaced that the app's parent company was selling data on users' HIV status to medical insurance companies. That's the kind of behavior that gets people blocked. And long live the queer media. So, as the update said above, I think what happened was during the news, it was really misrepresented. It may have been the original post was in Chinese.
Yeah.
And I believe it was a mistranslation, or both mistranslation and an overly enthusiastic writer that needs to make it more sensational than what it is.
Yeah.
So the man himself, that's the reason why he bought Grindr, because he is fighting for equality. He's just so happy he's straight. So we have an ally. He's actually an ally, and yeah, people are thinking of him as against marriage. But that's why he was doing all this, you know.
Yeah.
And he said it himself. I really think it's just a mischaracterization, and really this is the part where you see fake news.
Yeah.
This is the part that there is fake news. So yeah, it's really sad that people just want to, this is the part where really people just want to get headlines, because the headline says the president of Grindr just said he's against gay marriage. No, yeah, he's not. He just said that the reason why he's doing Grindr, because he does support it, and he fights anti-LGBTQ+.
Yeah, I think the whole thing was lost in translation.
It was lost in translation, and plus like I said, people do try, you know, try to get.
And if you don't know what Lost in Translation is, watch some of Netflix movies, not in their native tongue, because they get it all wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know who they hire to translate and quote the script or whatever, and then do the captions, but no, but half the time it don't even match up. So I'm like, what?
No, most probably, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's the story with Grindr. I hope everything gets cleared up with these guys. And I'm sure, listeners, if you're, on Facebook, I saw some of the comments, and people are really commenting about it, and people have things to say about it. But let's put it this way. If he starts supporting Chick-fil-A, that's what I posted on Facebook, that if he starts supporting Chick-fil-A, then people should do a mass exodus on this one to out of Grindr, because that's just wrong. That's just wrong if he does support. But, you know, he's in China. He's an owner of the company. To him, it's a business. At the same time, he does support.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess that's it about that. Yeah. All right, let's go to the next story. Let's go to the Geek Ray. Oh, okay. Texas. Woohoo!
Yeah.
Okay.
Texas long-awaited bullet train plans to start construction. When it comes to fighting traffic for hours on the long trips between Dallas and Houston, and they are long, there may be a new silver bullet, none other than the Texas Bullet Train. This Japanese-inspired downtown Dallas to northwest Houston high-speed rail will be the first of its kind in the United States. Would be, because it's a long felt like a rumor, but now it's looking a lot more like a will be. Masaru Yasano, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Chief General Manager of Central Japan Railway Company tells WFFA that plans are going forward complete with a specific time frame. We will start the construction next year, Yasano says. The Texas train is being developed by Central Japan Railway Company and its partner, Texas Central. The next step, final approval for the Federal Railroad Administration. The privately funded bullet train, noted as Shinkansen in Japan, can take passengers from Texas point A to point B in less than 90 minutes, which is normally a four-hour drive or more.
That's right.
Depending on if there's a wreck or there's construction. Compare that to the 3.5 hour, 4 hours it takes by car when there's no traffic. And anyone who regularly drives between Houston and Dallas knows light traffic times are rare. Often the drive stretches out well over 4 hours. The only downside to the new bullet train? No trip to Bucky's. But time is money, and Beaver Nuggets definitely are not. And maybe they'll work out a deal with Bucky's and sell Bucky snacks on the train. And yeah, just think, according to the Texas Central's research studies, in the next 20 years, the car travel time between Dallas and Houston is projected to spike up to an unbelievable stomach-churning 6.5 hours. You can thank the Texas train's breakneck pace of 186 miles per hour for cutting down travel time. The Texas train will start at that speed and could increase up to a crazy 205 miles per hour over time, making for an even faster trip. The exact model, the N7000i, with the I standing for international, will have several critical differences from Central Japan Railway's current N7 train. Texas's train will likely be more efficient, lighter, and significantly shorter at 8 train cars instead of the typical 16. The Texas take on Shinkansen will probably also feature economy and first-class seat cabins, both of which will boast high ceilings, spacious seats, and wide aisles. Either side of the aisle will have 2 seats. The Japanese trains also have electrical outlets for each row. The exact cost of this extreme convenience is a question mark, but Texas Central has shared a useful, if vague, guideline on the upper end ticket prices will be competitive with airfare, and on the low end ticket prices will be competitive with driving cost. Overall, prices will depend on how far in advance tickets are purchased, which day and the time of day you're driving at possible discounts. For what it's worth, bullet trains are said to be safer than both flying and driving with an impeccable accident-free record. That's zero recorded collisions, derailments, or fatalities on Japan's bullet trains over their 54-year history. Not to mention there's no tedious baggage claim and no security lines winding to infinity. Consider the boarding process more like what you'd find on a subway. You'll be able to buy tickets either online or at any of the train stations. It's looking like during peak hours, trains will run every 30 minutes and then every hour off-peak time. 6 hours will be set aside each night for inspection. The locations for the future stations are already set. The Dallas station will be south of Interstate 30 in Cedars neighborhood. Meanwhile, the Houston station will be located just outside 16 between Interstate 10 and 290 in Northwest Houston, which is the old Northwest Mall that sits there.
And the so that's what's happening
there. Yeah. Okay. And the Brazos Valley station will be in Grimes County near Texas 90 and Highway 30. All aboard.
Oh, that means I can go to your place, park there, and have an Uber or a ride with you somewhere, or somebody drop me off at that station if I'm going to Dallas, if we're going to, say, TBRU or something like that. People from Houston, it'd be great.
Yeah. But it'd also be good just, you know, like...
A day trip. Why not?
I mean, you can go up there for, or just for the weekend. I mean, you don't have to worry about driving and all that kind of stuff. You can get up there and you can Uber to the hotel and then Uber wherever you're going. And it still won't be as expensive as having to drive up there, finding parking and dealing with the craziness and the 4 hours sitting in traffic and then the traffic up there and everything. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. Me too. Yeah, Tim. So probably 2 years from now, maybe it'd be done. They'll start construction next year, so it'll take a long, long time.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to a very, very important article from The Verge. And I know you, Ray, you use Tumblr. I use Tumblr. And let's just say everyone who's listening to this is probably using Tumblr also.
Not after December 17th.
That's right. So Tumblr will ban all adult content on December 17th. Tumblr will permanently ban adult content from its platform on December 17th in a move that will eradicate porn-related communities on the platform and fundamentally alter how the service is used. The ban includes explicit sexual content and nudity with a few exceptions, the company tells The Verge. The new policy's announcement comes just days after Tumblr was removed from Apple's iOS App Store over a child pornography incident, but it extends far beyond that matter alone. Adult content will no longer be allowed here, the company flatly said, stated in a blog post published on Monday. Banned content includes photos, videos, and GIFs of human genitalia, female-presenting nipples, and any media involving sex acts, including illustrations. Oh, even the anime ones we usually see, right? So the exceptions include nude classical statues and political protests that feature nudity. And I think breastfeeding mothers also, they allow. I think they will allow that too. So the new guidelines exclude text, so erotica remains permitted. That's fine. Illustrations and art that feature nudity are still okay. So long as sex acts aren't depicted. And so the Kama Sutra images cannot be either. And so are breastfeeding and afterbirth photos. So after December 17th, any explicit posts will be flagged and deleted by algorithms. For now, Tumblr is emailing users who have posted adult content flagged by algorithms and notifying them that their content will soon be hidden from view. Hidden? Oh, it can still be put somewhere. Posts with porn content will be set to private, which will prevent them from being reblogged or shared elsewhere in the Tumblr community. Users can have a chance to appeal Tumblr's decision in situations where they think there has been a mistake. And the platform admits there's a chance that the automated tools it's using could make errors. It's a process that could take a while, as a bulk of Tumblr posts feature explicit content. Users who run adult blogs can also export their content before the change takes place in order to save what they have. Explicit blogs will be allowed to remain on the service, but they'll be heavily censored for all visitors. Yeah, so that's going to be happening on December 17th. So if you guys are still... if you have a way to download your videos or somebody else's videos, this is the time. You have a couple of days. You have 14 days. You have 2 weeks. You have 2 weeks, everyone, to either capture your videos, download them, and stuff like that. So let's see what happens. It's going to be – it's going to change the way we look at Tumblr now.
Well, I think it's going to change the way people actually use Tumblr. And I think a lot of – I think it's going to lose a lot of users personally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, people, you got the Tumblr account just because of that.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's Vimeo, or I guess that's where there are probably people going to go now, either Vimeo or actual XTube and stuff like that. Maybe people will go back to XTube. Maybe. Who knows? That's going to be interesting. December 17th. Should tell our friends. There's going to be no nudity by December 17th.
Well, if they're on Facebook, there's 30 million posts about this and all the memes. And the funniest one I've seen so far is, you know, the Tumblr symbol, the T and the blue square. They've changed it to a cross. It says before December 17th, after December 18th.
You become Christian. Oh, well, that's what's going to happen. All right, let's go to the next story. Ray, this is yours. It's all because it's all about butt plugs.
Yeah, bizarre. Hackers can detect your butt plug from outside your house and turn it on. Picture the scene. A hacker is hunched over a laptop in a car outside a suburban home when suddenly from within come strange muffled screams. The chilling scenario came a step closer today as hackers at Pen Test Partners, short for Penetration Test Naturally, showed how to take over Bluetooth butt plugs. Scarily, hackers could detect smart toys from outside your house, then make them go berserk. The practice of taking over smart sex toys is now known as screwdriving from ward driving, a hacker term for finding Wi-Fi networks while driving. The Register reports researchers from the Pen Test Partners were able to detect a LoveSense Hush, a smart sex toy, remotely and say they could have it set on full power. They didn't. The research is right. One could drive the Hush's motor to a full speed as long as the hacker remains connected to the BLB and not the victim. There's no way they can stop the vibrations. We've not set out to kink shame anyone for their use of these devices. Adult toys appeal to a huge spectrum of people, and their ubiquity allows people to enjoy a sex-positive life. However, we think that those same people should be able to use them without fear of compromise or injury.
Okay, so I've heard about these Bluetooth-enabled vibrators, is it? Or dildo? Yeah, I mean, what do they expect about these with these devices? So basically, these are vibrators that are Bluetooth-enabled, so you can control it with your phone or something.
Well, a lot of this is used for people that are in relationships, in some sort of relationship, whether it be dom, sub, love, whatever. And they use one of these toys, and they can control it remotely from their phone. So say if their spouse is wearing it at work, they can activate it while they're at work from their phone sitting at their desk, and their spouse or sub or boyfriend, girlfriend is buzzed.
Who brings a butt plug at work?
Maynard, you live a very sheltered life, apparently.
People bring butt plugs to work? Why?
I'm sure there's a lot of things people are wearing under their clothes that you don't realize at work. Just like people in chastity devices. You would never know they're in a chastity device unless you actually see them whip it out and see the chastity device. But a lot of people wear them.
But these are not exactly butt plugs that are plugged into their butts.
Well, it's not necessarily moment, butt plugs, but they're also Benoit balls that do the same thing. And other vaginal toys that you can use in the vagina and the anus that can do this. So,
Okay. I have yet to see a real one. Maybe there's some video. Maybe we can search for some videos and see if they can actually do that, like a proof of concept that they can actually activate.
Well, I'll tell you, I know what to tell Mike to get you for Christmas now.
Right, a Bluetooth enabled
butt plug.
Okay, yeah.
With a diamond on it.
Good Lord. At the end of it. All right, so let's go to the next story. Okay, this is kind of interesting because when Ray posted it, it's one of those Asian monks that are hot. So I could see why. So a Buddhist monk in hot water for being too ripped. It's just because he's sexy and he's being... Anyway. Buddhist authorities are trying to find a man dressed as a monk after photos of his muscular physique went viral. Photos of the ripped monk popped up on social media last week, but authorities said he tarnished the religion's image. They also admitted they don't know if he is a real monk or just dressed as one. I think he's just dressed as one. Either way, he's in trouble. So against monkhood discipline, this man has put on clothes similar to monk robes and taken photos of himself with fit muscles online. Narong Songarom, deputy director of the National Office of Buddhism, told media. Although not a grave error in the monk's way, it is an earthly sin that invites societal criticisms and damages Buddhism. Another senior monk said the man tarnished the religion. Building muscles and putting photos up on social media like this is a monk that forgets his vows of monkhood. Fra Payom Kalyano, abbot of Wat Suan Khao in Nontaburi, told Kausod English. Oh my God, you're challenging me on this one, Ray. You got this article. It's inappropriate because it invites criticism and tarnishes our religion. If you want to exercise and have a muscular body, just stay home instead of being ordained. I think it's... okay, I'll say my comments at the end. So Buddhist monks in Thailand have faced the growth obesity problem. Yes. Some of them are chubby. Many monks are dangerously overweight. This is not only because locals shower them with food, but also because they're forbidden from exercising for vanity. Really? I didn't know that. So the problem became so serious, the Thai government released a monk health charter, released in December 2017. The charter teaches monks how to watch what they eat. If they eat our food and are satisfied, we feel comfort that the food... That food will be transferred to our loved ones, said Mr. Prachaksvich Lebnak, Deputy Secretary General at the National Health Security Office. So it is interesting, first, that this, a monk is ripped that way, and they themselves claim that monks do not get that ripped, and because they are having an overweight problem.
I'm sure there are a lot of monks out there that work out and exercise, and if this guy's really a monk, he was probably just proud of what he had accomplished and was showing it off, which is pride, which is probably something that does go against the religion.
Exactly. So the only conclusion I can think of is that he is pretending to be a monk. It's just a monk that's trying to... Yeah, it's a guy. It's a ripped, muscular guy who just wore a monk robe and just pretended that he's a monk. So, you know, it's one of those fantasies that some nuns are into sex, things like that. You know, they would make porn videos that they're actually nuns and having sex, things like that. So in this case, it's toned down because there's no sex involved, but he's just really tarnishing the Buddhist religion because they're showing off. The mere fact that he's showing off, that's not a Buddhist trait. That's not a Buddhist value.
Yeah.
And so I could see that. So I think it's fake. I think it's fake in sense that he is not a real monk and he's just pretending to be one, and then it became viral.
Okay. Yeah. So I just thought about something. One of the articles that I started to add to the feed but I didn't was about the Vatican, the Pope saying that they will no longer ordain gay priests.
Oh, yeah, I saw that article, too. Yeah, I think, didn't we have that on Gay Bazaar? Anyway, it's an article that I saw myself, too. Yeah, and I didn't read the article, but did you read the article?
Yes, I did read the article. But I think it's very interesting that that come out on the same day that Tumblr announces it's removing all porn. Coincidence? Wow. I think not.
It may be Tumblr has seen the light.
Or the Illuminati.
The Illuminati, or, you know. They're now Catholic for some reason. All right, so I guess that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. So we are now in the top 25 gay podcasts. It's on blog.feedspot.com/gay_podcasts. And you can also contact us through email. Yeah, send your emails to show@gaygeekbazaar.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Podbean, Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, that's right. Oh, yeah. Speaking of Facebook, yeah. So Ray and I have been busy with Facebook. We're the ones posting on facebook.com/gaygeekbazaar, and you'll get to see some of the articles that we've been posting. And there are some people who have been commenting on our posts, so keep it up. People who are just reading there, having fun and just commenting and stuff like that. So thank you very much for the people who have been visiting and posting on our Facebook page, facebook.com/gaygeekbazaar. And lastly, go to, oh, if you want to send greeting cards, Ray, what is the address to send the greeting cards for the holidays?
You can send them to GayGeekBazaar.com, Post Office Box 2511, Humble, Texas 77347.
That's right. And go to the official website at GayGeekBazaar.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye. Happy holidays.